This is a replay of the Tuesday night, August 25th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoIP. For a great deal and good customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend with you. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And I'll tell you, a lot of people, of course, talking about Dolly Parton. For many, it was a shock. For those in her inner circle, not so much. But when she canceled that gig in Las Vegas in May, it pretty much was a declaration, if you will. And she was notorious for kidney stones and all that, but around the time her husband died, she was diagnosed with cancer, and it played out, and ultimately this morning she passed. And interesting how many email I've gotten about this, not only from this show, but also from one of my radio stations that's pretty much a country format in terms of all the people and their outpouring, and I can understand it. There's also a lot of interesting things I've seen on some of the obits that I thought, well, not exactly. And while certainly it was Arne Porter's show that she came to great public recognition, that wasn't her start. In fact, the first thing she ever recorded was not a hit, but it was a little label gold band out of Louisiana when she was a young teenager, like 1959, so she would have been like 15 maybe, and it was Puppy Love, not the same one that Bill Owens, her uncle, who was a lifelong supporter of hers and who made it till just recently, a few years ago, he passed away. But so I'll give you some of that. And also, she was signed to Monument long before there was anything having to do with Porter Wagoner, and before that she'd been on Mercury briefly and Circle B, but Monument, Fred Foster signed her in 64, and there were a number of things, including Busy Signal, was written by Ray Stevens, of all people. And then, of course, we played Dumb Blonde the other day for Don and Beloit. And that was all before September or so of 67 when she joined Porter. And, by the 70s, she absolutely wanted to go it alone. And he wanted absolutely nothing to do with that, to say the least. And he was threatening her and all this. And finally, toward the end of 73, she pretty much said, you know, I'm leaving. And you know, he was, no, you're not. And ultimately, that's why she wrote I Will Always Love You. She wrote it as a song for him and, said, I always will, but I got to go. And so they did some negotiating and off she went. And her first hit, interestingly, as far as real, and there were a number of records that came out, don't get me wrong, Coat of Many Colors and all that, but the first big one might have been Jolene, and that was on RCA, of course, as were several others on RCA before that. And Jolene was a true story. A bank teller was flirting with Carl, her husband, and became immortalized in song. And then so much more that you know. And of course, we'll play a few things. And in fact, I got one email from Amy saying, if there's any you like, actually, there's several I like, truth be known. The Bargain Store is one of my favorites. Maybe we'll do that. And more. So 888-876-5593. Get your your comments on it as well. And I think we'll give the floor to Don, because as I say, it was just last week he was wanting Dumb Blonde, I think, or last month anyway. So, Don, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Yeah, thank you so much. Wow. I mean, my voice is cracking.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think people really connected with her because you just can't fake it in country, like that generation.
Well, she was the real deal, but more than that, she was such a good person. I mean, unbelievably generous. And, you know, when she left in 74, 5 years later, here comes Porter and he sues her. Sues her all to hell and back, you know, for $3 million and like 50% of all. She settled. She gave him $1 million to make him go away. And that was not at a time when she had $1 million, but she ended it. But it was interesting because, of course, later they reconciled to the degree that they were talking. And when she had heard that he was facing real bad financial times, she went in and she bought up his entire royalties catalog, every bit of the writing and publishing, bought it all up 100%. And after he cleared out his debts with her, she gave it back to him with no charge whatsoever.
Jeez, so I didn't know that part.
Yeah, that's the way she was. He didn't deserve it, by the way. He didn't deserve. And the reason she was on that show is Norma Jean left, and Norma Jean had been a sidekick. That was an interesting show because that had been on the air since 1961, and that was never a network show. That originally was a show where they were hawking drugs, not prescription drugs or illegal drugs, but the company in Chattanooga made these products, and they'd weave it into the show. Like one of them was for menopause pain, and another one was, I think, an insomnia cure or something, but they'd weave it right in the show, and that's who, so it was Barter. The TV stations that picked it up didn't pay a thing for it. They just ran the spots, and that's, you know, that's how it started, and Norma Jean was there, and then she left, and here comes Dolly, and of course, Dolly was a force of nature, to say the least, and he didn't take it well when she decided that she had a life away from him.
You remember Jogging in a Jug, those ads? I don't know why it reminds me of that era.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, she always worked her craft. You know, she could have been so easily a one-hit wonder, done a show, and then just disappeared. Yeah. But just, I think it's very similar to Loretta Lynn. They're just great people. They always worked. They started so poor, but it was always family, the Dolly.
Oh, yeah, and she pretty much single-handedly supported that family. Not that they didn't do things themselves. Like, I always thought Stella was pretty good, but she sounded too much like Dolly, I think, to really get anything. But there were some decent songs that Stella did. I thought Standard Lie, number one, was a great record. And she's about 3 years younger than Dolly.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, I'll have to dig that out. Yes,
of course, Loretta Lynn's family. Again, stuff there.
Well, yeah,
okay.
Absolutely, including in the Pacific Northwest. So yeah, there's all sorts of things there.
Well, I thought the company you keep is an appropriate one, but whatever ones you like playing,
I'll do it.
Yeah.
All right.
Great show, Raleigh. Thanks for
calling. I appreciate it.
Talking about.
Okay, bye.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Yeah, truly the real deal, and really solid, lasting marriage. You know, there were always people who didn't know what they were talking about with all these rumors and all that, but Carl just wanted to be behind the scenes, and so he was, you know, I think he one time went to something with her, literally one time in her entire career did he attend an event, and that was enough for him. But yeah, they met at a laundromat. I always called it the wishy-washy. I don't think it was, but they did. Before she was anything, and he was her rock until he passed away last year. Victor in Silver Spring, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yes, I remember the Porter Wagoner show.
Sure.
Back in 1967, I guess I was watching it around April of that year, and after he did his signature song, Tonight the Bottle Let Me Down, then he introduced Dolly Parton.
Uh-huh.
So that's how I supposedly met her on, you know, on TV.
Sure.
There were other shows. Buck Owens had a show.
Oh. Yeah, many people. You know, if you go a decade earlier, I've never understood this, Victor, but I'm originally from Los Angeles, and by the late 40s, early 50s, Los Angeles TV, local TV, because there were several independent stations, were just ripe with tons of these country shows. You know, some were from Bakersfield, yes, but some performance you'd know, other you wouldn't. And to this day, I don't know why there are at least half a dozen different country television shows on early LA TV.
I saw some of those shows on, I think it was Channel 9, WMUR-TV, in the late 50s, early 60s.
Right.
And there was a local show called The Country Store with Clyde and Willie Mae, and I'm trying to think of... And Curly, I think he played the fiddle. I used to watch that show that drove my father crazy.
Yeah.
You gotta watch that. And then they also had a film where they showed a country music song or two from Nashville.
Yeah. Yeah, film, absolutely, those film clips. But there were tons of things. Like in L.A., one of the first was Town Hall Party, and that was on Channel 11, KTTV. And Tex Ritter and Jay Stewart were the hosts, but there were a ton of people. And then Cliffy Stone had Hometown Jamboree, and God, that was probably 49 that started, and he was a big country music promoter. And they did it from El Monte Legion Stadium, which is amazing because later that was so big with R&B. But Spade Cooley, you probably know about Spade Cooley because, of course, he killed his wife, and so that was a real big thing. there were a ton of them, Dave O'Dell, and like you mentioned, all these people, and some of them were local to different areas. And along D.C., Jimmy Dean used to have those cruises on the Potomac where they do country music, and it's like, I don't know what the hell this came from, like why, and to this day, I don't know.
I remember Jimmy Dean had a morning show on CBS. And I remember my mother watched it. Moving on, I was talking to Nick earlier today. We were talking about the AM band again. And I said, why aren't there any stations on 5:30 like they do in Canada? There's a station I get at that frequency at night. I think it's in Toronto. But I know the beginning of the AM band is 5:40. Why not add another frequency and move it down to 5:30?
Well, I think that 5:30, when they set it up, was reserved for travelers' information. It was a government allocation, and it was a TIS pool, and that was public safety, traffic updates, local travel, and all that. So the deal was, when they reserved that, they codified that 5:30 could not broadcast music or regular programming and could not have commercial advertisements. So the only thing they could do was loop that non-commercial, you know, BS. And of course, they're almost always fairly low power and usually highway advisory radio, HAR transmitters.
I used to pick those up on 1640.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, as you all know, when they came up with the EB from a 1610 to a 1700, they changed that, which made 5:30 even more vital to them at the time.
Yeah. And unfortunately, when they set up the X-band, you really can't get that many stations at night because the power is so low.
It wasn't at first.
10,000 watts during the day, then they dropped down to 1,000 watts.
It wasn't at first. They had nighttime power for a while there on some of the stations. I don't know about the East Coast, but there was one out of Utah. I think it was out of Ogden, and 1660. And man, yeah, in the day I could hear it. I could hear it actually in Wyoming in the day, but at night I could hear it pretty well. So I'm pretty sure they were running more than a kilowatt.
And I remember there was a pirate station that operated for a while. Trying to think, it was in the late 90s, maybe. It came out of Southern Virginia, and I can't... WPEX was the station at 90.9. and they started broadcasting on 1630, and they made a big deal about all the people calling in at night, and I guess the FCC got a hold of them and said cease and desist.
Yeah.
And they suddenly went off the air without any warning. But I remember they were on for a few months.
Yeah. And there were a lot of a lot of pirates like that. But KDIA 1640 in Vallejo, that was 10 kilowatt at night as well as in the day. But most of them, you're right, most weren't. But some were. So it was usual, but it wasn't mandated.
Yeah, during the daytime, I can't get anything on that band because I have so much interference.
Oh, of course, from everything.
1500 is one of them.
From everything, and then of course all the interference that isn't even radio. I mean, AM is tough in the day. The Jersey City station, that 1660 there, I think that was 10 kilowatts at night also.
I got a letter from them one time when they first came on the air.
Okay.
And I get them. I think they're in Spanish now.
WWRU. I don't know.
Yeah. And then the one that's closest to me in Pawtucket, WPTX.
Uh-huh.
They moved from 920 up to 1690. I used to get them during the day a number of years ago until I started getting all the stuff, you know, that I have the internet now.
Right, of course.
So it just screws up my AM band completely.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, I looked up RU while we're talking. They're now all Korean, K-Radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But anyway, WPTX plays the oldies channel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
But I used to get them during the day before I got all this interference.
Yeah. Yeah, and they are 1 kilowatt at night, so at least it's not directional 1 kilowatt, but it's, and originally PTX was, I think, on 920. And then
yes, it was.
Yeah, then they moved to that 1690. And so I think 920 silent. You would know more than me, but I don't think they're on the
920 is now a Hispanic station in Virginia.
Is that the Quantico station?
I think so.
Okay. All right. All right. So there you go. Interesting stuff. Always wonderful to hear from you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Right. And now it's Nick's turn.
All right. I'll look forward to that. Thanks. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Marty, we'll get to James, and you two, and yeah, early Dolly Parton coming up on WGN Radio. One I could find on that little gold band label out of Louisiana. Dolly, I guess, maybe was 13 actually on that, and her uncle Bill Owens wrote it and took her down there, and they recorded that, and who knew what she'd of course later become. So rest in peace, Dolly Parton. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Marty is in Whiting. So Marty, what is up tonight?
Evening, Rowling.
Yeah.
A somber call tonight. I loved Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
I'll cut right to the chase. Canary Christmas song, Mule Skinner Blues.
Okay. She did record it, it's true.
My mom, I told you before, my mom did a mini pole act way back in the day.
Yeah.
My mom's been going for 40 years, but my mom loved Dolly Parton also. So, maybe not tonight, but you don't have to.
Yeah, Mule Skinner Blues. The other thing that I always think about her in her early days that she redid It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels. So, yeah, interesting stuff.
Really?
Oh, yes, I've got it here. I can play that for you. Yeah, absolutely.
That's another favorite from Dolly, Honky Tonk Angels.
yeah, absolutely. And as she always said, it's pretty expensive to look this cheap. So.
And real quick, I did not know this till tonight. My watering hole, somebody told me her husband passed away
last year.
Recently?
Last year. Yeah.
Oh, man. I didn't
Carl.
Know that.
So. Right, Carl. Right. And that he really had been her rock. That's absolutely true. Died last year. I think around September last year. If I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And but believe me, she certainly had extended family everywhere, so she certainly wasn't alone.
And tonight in my watering hole, this woman that I've only known her maybe a year, she's been to Dollywood a couple of times.
Right.
With her kids.
Okay, sure.
Like, wow, my mom went to Dollywood.
Well, it opened in '86, and millions of people have been there since, and it was one of her big projects. I think the biggest project she had is that literacy project that she has, where she mails or company mails free books to kids, and that's
right.
Still going strong. And I think that's it was her, I guess, nephew who was the spokesperson, and he said, you know, people who wanted to remember her could donate to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was Bill Owens' kid.
Lolly, did you ever meet Dolly?
I waved at Dolly a lot. I'm sorry I never sat down and talked to her. When I was in Nashville, my office space I rented in an old house that she actually owned. And Bill Owens, who was her uncle, had the downstairs, and I had the upstairs of this old house on 18th Avenue South. And I liked Bill a lot, Dolly occasionally. And I regret to my, probably to my dying day, that I didn't do more than just smile and wave, because I'm sure she would have been interesting to talk to. Now, when I was promoting Country Records, I did run into Stella quite a bit, her younger sister, because she was on the bill with some of my acts, in places like high schools in Dyersburg and things like that, and liked Stella a lot.
Well, what a small world.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
All right. We're going to miss her, and gosh darn it, I didn't know this till like five hours ago, and so I don't watch a whole lot of TV anymore.
Yeah.
I listen to the radio. But yeah, it's like, I heard that. Raleigh, I felt like somebody punched me in my stomach.
Yeah, I know it. Even though I knew this was coming, still hearing it was like, oh my. Yeah, I feel the same way. Thanks for calling, Marty. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, and I will play, as I said to Don, I promise I play standard line number one. That's Stella. Sounded a lot like Dolly, but got a Ray Stevens written song coming up next. And she did this about a year before she did the Porter Wagoner show, Busy Signal, and that was on Monument. So we'll get there as well. So 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh takes us to John in Covington tonight. So what's up, John?
Hey, Raleigh, one thing before we get to Dolly, please. My Radio 2E, I'm a big fan of the Dayton Flyers, okay? And WHIO,
right.
Are they 5,000 or 10,000 watt?
They're on 1290. And I assume they're a five. Certainly a big force in Dayton, but I never really thought about hearing them outside of Dayton. But I assume they're, and I'm guessing, but I assume they're a 5 kilowatt day non-directional. And then at night, I'll look it up. It could either be a 5-directional or a 1 non-directional. Let's have.
Well, I mean, what I'm getting at is, I really like the 2E. Would it help? Could I probably get that maybe if I put an additional antenna on it? But I understand that the two antennas, they're built into the radio itself. So how would I go about putting an additional antenna?
Their nighttime coverage map is not good. I'm not sure you would pick that up. For a lot of reasons, actually, but it is.
But they're only 92 miles away. I'm
that
sorry.
That doesn't do me anything. See, so they are 5 kilowatt day and 1 kilohertz night, and they're actually 5 kilohertz night and directional, which is what I thought they would be, a directional. And it's a 3-tower array, and it's not a coverage area that's very conducive to the Cincinnati Metro. So, and then on top of that, when you talk about picking up stations at night using the ionosphere layer, don't forget about the phase zone where ground wave and sky wave cancel each other out. And you're probably going to have a lot more hash because it's 90 miles away than you would if it was, say, 200 miles away.
But I see what you're saying, because there's more players involved.
Well, no, it's not that. It's because the ground wave and the sky wave are canceling each other.
I think I got it.
Yeah, well, normally in the day, you're talking about ground wave pretty much as far as the eye can see. But when you get at night, it bounces off the ionosphere layer, and that's why you can hear these distant stations. But when you're close enough that you still have some ground wave, plus the ionosphere is giving you some sky wave, there's a cancellation problem.
Okay, on to Dolly.
Yeah.
My brother, God rest his soul, he used to work for Provident Bank, and Carl Linder used to throw
a
huge party at Christmas time during the holidays. And he'd fly in Sinatra, Kenny Rogers, Andy Williams. And one year he flew in Dolly, and he would take my parents, and of course he would get a date. And then my dad, he said, I love Frank, but all he did the whole night was drink. I mean, you know, and you could tell it. It told on him.
Those, by the way, those Christmas parties were legendary. And, of course, people who don't know Carl Lindner, he's about the richest person in Cincinnati. But there were over 6,000 employees, plus everybody plus everybody else he invited. So he usually held them at Cincinnati Music Hall.
Right, and, exactly.
Absolutely. And he was the real deal. He was a very interesting guy.
I'll tell you, one year he had, after Frank would get so loaded, next year he had Andy Williams. Andy Williams was from Cincinnati, and he said, he got on the Al Schottacotti News. They were friends. They were friends at Western Hills High School and graduated together. And Al Schottacotti says, now let me ask you something, Andy. How is it we graduated together and now you're 2 years younger than
I? I love it.
Andy said, well, when you get a couple hit records and you get them published, that's what's going to happen.
Right, absolutely.
Thanks for the time, Roy. See ya.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, all right. So 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh. Oh, we got a first-time caller, so let's find out what's on Elaine's mind. She is in Tinley Park. Welcome to WGN Radio, Elaine. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hi, Raleigh. Thanks for taking my call. I'm wondering if I'm correct in my recollection of a TV commercial many, many decades ago that I believe Dolly Parton appeared in for a product called Duz, D-U-Z. It was a powdered laundry detergent that was advertised during my mother's soap opera.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if it was Does. It might have been Breeze. But the deal is that it was on the Porter Wagoner show, absolutely. And the product came with things like a free dish towel in it or things like that. Or a plate, right. Something like that. And then Dolly and Porter would sit there unwrapping the surprise on the air with Dolly enthusiastically showing it off. And, you know, they not only did laundry soap, but I couldn't believe that they did Cardle. This was some product. And Dolly even said she was mortified that stopped menstrual cramps. And I just can't imagine it. And then there was Black Draft. I forget what the hell it did. But in any event, yeah, that I'm sure if you go to YouTube, I would literally be willing to bet the bank that there is a Dolly and Porter commercial. But I'm pretty sure it wasn't Does. It was Breeze. But it's the same exact thing. Stupid things like dishes in the product.
Yes, because I can remember my mother, God rest her soul, saying, she says, you'll have to wash it 20 times to get all the detergent out of it.
Oh, absolutely. And that was really true. And it was glasses. Oh, my God.
Well, if you're able to, Raleigh, I would appreciate a song of Dolly's. And another special person was Kenny Rogers, Islands in the Storm.
In the stream. Okay.
In the stream, yes.
I'll do it next hour.
Sounds good. Thank you much.
My pleasure. All right. And I'm doing that because Elaine is a first-time caller, and she deserves that. We both know that I'm not a fan of Islands in the Stream, but that's all right. I will absolutely do it. And we'll hear her doing a Ray Stevens song next. Ray was, of course, big at Monument at the time. So there you have it. But before we get back to it, if you are a radio fan, you probably know all about the Sea Crane Company. But if not, everybody wants an emergency radio for all the reasons that you know, because after all, when the power's out, what do you want? You want a flashlight, you want a radio. And invariably, that's when the batteries are dead. Or that's if it was a solar radio, that's when you didn't leave it out in the windowsill or whatever. Well, that's why I love the CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth, because it truly is the definition of an emergency radio. It will work no matter what. And here is the deal. Yes, you absolutely can use it as a solar radio. In fact, it's got an oversized solar panel, so chances are good that's going to last a while. Also, you can use it with batteries, of course. If you want, when there's no emergency, get AC adapter, listen, AC, use it on AC. Excuse me, kind of chokes me up. And I'll explain that later. But in any event, the deal is that when all else fails, when the batteries are dead, you didn't have it out in the sunlight, you don't have an AC adapter, and the power's not on anyway, hand crank it. Just got a little crank on the back of it. Wind it for about 30 seconds. It'll play for 30 minutes. So this is going to work no matter what. And it's got a built-in LED flashlight as well. Now, you normally think of wind-up radios, and I've had a lot in my day, as just being big and cumbersome and all. Not true. The CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth is about the size of a brick. Clean, modern digital design. 5 easy one-touch memories. Superior reception, like everything that Bob Crane has been involved with. Terrific AM and terrific FM. But how good is the audio? So good that it's got Bluetooth in case you want to use it as your Bluetooth speaker. Yes, it'll double as your Bluetooth speaker. It sounds that good. And in addition to AM and FM, of course, with great reception, the weather radio and NOAA weather alerts as well. So this is the ultimate emergency radio. And it's pretty, too. You can go to ccradio.com anytime. Look at the CC Radio Solar, ccradio.com. But if you can't go online or if you've got questions and you want to talk to somebody, they've got answers. 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go to ccradio.com, the world is your oyster. Great products and great information about them and about radio in general. Now, it's available at Amazon for quicker shipping, but I say go to ccradio.com first and take a look at it. ccradio.com, the CC Radio Solar. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Busy singer, that's what I get when I call you. Busy talking to someone new. I wish I knew. I shouldn't let it go, it's probably his mother. Or did I get
1966 on Monument. Ray Stevens wrote it, arranged it, and produced it for Dolly Parton, Busy single. Remember when that came out? I thought it was a pretty good record. Yeah, well, shows you. If I like it, it's usually the kiss of death, but I thought it was pretty good. All right, so 888-876-5593. Also should mention that Dolly absolutely stood up for her beliefs in every way, shape, and form. And when she had written I Will Always Love You, which, as I mentioned, she wrote it for Porter when she basically was saying goodbye, Elvis heard it. And Elvis wanted to do it. And so the session was set. And the night before, Colonel Parker called her and said, well, you know, you have to give us half the publishing, 50% of the publishing rights, which was standard with this guy. And a lot of people, actually. He wasn't the only one. But Dolly stood up to him. She said, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, well, if you don't do that, Elvis is not going to record your record. You don't want that. She said, well, I guess I'll have to live with that. And so Elvis did not record her record. And at the time, a lot of people said, well, you fool. I mean, turning down an Elvis record, think about how much money. And then, of course, when I Will Always Love You came out by Whitney Houston, best decision she ever made. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. Chris is in South Carolina. Welcome to WGN Radio. Chris, what's up?
Hey, Ron, how's it going? I'm sorry about what happened to Dolly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember she did a lot of songs, and right now WSM is playing all of her songs.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And they won't have to repeat any, because she's very prolific.
Uh-huh. And she started on the Grand Ole Opry what year?
Oh, I don't remember. The first year she was on the Opry was probably while she was doing that Porter show.
Oh, the Porter show? Was it a network show?
No. It was always syndication. First run syndication, strictly barter.
Oh, I wonder if the Greenville-Spartanburg people had the Porter show in their stations.
Well, a lot of independents picked it up, of course, because they were looking for programming that was available because they didn't have networks. But some networks picked it up as well over the years. I'm sure if you go online, there's a list of them.
Okay, I know WGGS didn't pick it up because they mostly gospel.
Well, I think that actually, when I think about Dolly on the Grand Ole Opry, I think it was before that, she had a crush on Johnny Cash when she was about 12. And he actually, I think, introduced her on the Grand Ole Opry when she was about 13. And that's when it was at the Ryman. And the reason was her uncle Bill Owens was a songwriter and well-known in Nashville, and she appeared with him. So, so that was the very first. But I looked it up to see when she joined, when she was an official member. And yes, it was during the Porter Show, 1969, January 4th, 1969. Now, if you decide to be an official member of the Opry, remember, you've got to do a certain amount of performances a year. I think it's three, but I'm not sure. And that's a Saturday night, and they only pay scale. So there's a lot of people who didn't want that honor because, of course, it cost them when they were touring.
Oh, it did?
Well, sure, because they could have gotten a great gig. Instead, they were getting scale at the Opry.
Yeah, and the only place you had to listen to it was on the radio on WSM.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Before the cable channel TNN came along.
Right, the only network where
the
the only network where T stands for the. All right, well, in any event, that's all true. She signed on during the Porter days. And I assume she remained, though, like I say, it would wind up costing you quite a lot of money if you're a pretty big star.
Yeah.
All right.
She was a big star when she did the movie 9 to 5.
Oh, well, yeah. Now you're talking.
And that was a big hit back in 1980.
Of course.
And you know, her sister was on the TV version of 9 to 5, Rachel.
Oh, yeah, Rachel. Rachel was, indeed. All right, forgot about that. But yes, Rachel was.
Yeah.
And I'll play Estella after the news. All right, well, you've ended the hour, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Chris. All right, so 888-876-5593. James on the South Side has stories. Can't wait to hear them. Coming up next hour right here on WGN Radio.
Likened to a bargain store, and I'm may have just what you're looking for. If you don't mind the fact that all the merchandise is used, but with a little mending, it could be as good as new. Why, you take, for instance, this old broken heart. If you will just replace the missing parts, you would be surprised to find how good it really is. Take it and you never will be sorry that you did. The bargain store is open, come inside. You can easily afford the price. Love is to purchase all the merchandise, and I can guarantee you'll be completely satisfied. Take these old used memories from the past, and these broken dreams and plans that didn't last. I'll trade them for a future, I can't use them anymore. I've wasted love, but I still have some more. The bargain store is open, come inside.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. 1975, and co-produced by Porter Wagoner, actually, RCA, of course, and Dolly wrote it. In fact, of all of her lyrics, I think The Bargain Store was my favorite. All right, rest in peace, Dolly. And I will get that Stella on, as promised, and also for Elaine, our first-time caller, we will absolutely do Islands in the Stream. All right, so 888-876-5593. Nick is in Baltimore. What's happening, Nick?
Hey, Wally, good morning.
Yeah.
Well, great show tonight.
Thank you.
Sorry about Dolly Parton. I wanted to say a little bit about Dolly Parton. She was the one person. Well, I did like some country music, okay? The older stuff.
Yeah.
And Dolly Parton bridged the gap between the older stuff and the newer stuff.
Yeah.
And she's amazing. And everything I read about her, what a wonderful person she is, and she'll be missed.
You know, it's interesting. Nashville is as backbiting as a town can get. And, yeah, a lot of snide remarks about a lot of people. And I'll tell you what, I have never heard a bad word about this woman. Not ever. So that speaks volumes.
That's what I'm hearing, too. No one has ever said anything bad about Dolly Parton.
Right.
Everybody liked her. I remember those old shows, too, the Porter Wagoner Show and the Dolly Parton Show, which was, I think, like you said, it's syndicated. And it was on all over the place here. It was on in D.C. It was everywhere.
Yeah.
And that was a great show.
Yeah, and that was, the Dolly Parton Show was actually in the 70s. There was a syndicated show, and then she had another one briefly on ABC in the 80s. But that Porter Wagoner Show, of course, from 61 on through like 81, that was your basic low-budget barter show, you know, as far as that goes.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing that ever happened to Porter Wagoner, who obviously was a star in his own right, but was Dolly Parton, you know, because not that many people were talking about it when Norma Jean was his co-host, not to take away from her, but... So, yeah.
That was a, you know, I wanted to also mention this. I was talking to our friend Mike Lentz, and you talked to Mike down in Miami.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get him to call in. He always goes to sleep early. He says, you got to call into Raleigh. And he was asking me, how many stations broke format today and play a Dolly Parton record? And I said, Mike, I'm really not sure. I don't know. I'm sure the country stations did.
Well, I would not. You know, it's interesting. I don't know exactly when the news broke. because that's part of the answer. Because, of course, if it broke in morning drive, you have a lot of people who were doing, you know, live or live assist shows who probably, regardless of format, for the most part, would have played something. If it broke middays, well, you know, a lot of those stations aren't even monitored, let alone staffed, you know. So
it did break in midday.
Well, so then how many on music stations, how many midday shows have a live personality?
Not many.
Well, so there's your answer. How about afternoon? See, I don't have this answer either. I'm just throwing it out. I think that it would not surprise me in the least. Anybody who was live or some form of live assist would have done something. But anybody who was strictly automated, who knows?
Because I remember when I was at WNAV, and even before that, before I got into radio, if the news broke of an artist that passed away, coming out of that newscast, you would hit a record.
Oh, of course. But, you know, you're saying newscasts again, and if you go back in the day, it was mandatory to do the news. That's why we all laugh about, you know, all the instrumentals that should have been called, "This Will Take Us Up to News," you know, because they were back-timing them.
Yeah.
But that hasn't been mandatory in decades. So, you know, a lot of the music stations, they wouldn't be running a newscast, particularly in a midday.
No, you're right. I'm going back to, you know, back to the day when you did have.
Well, sure. When you had a staff, of course. This is somebody who spanned virtually every format. And you know, I don't know that she had anything on the R&B charts, but I bet if I check, she probably did. But I listened to words like "The Bargain Store." That easily could have been a soul record, you know. So, you know, I think certainly pop stations, top 40 stations, country stations, you know, even maybe some classic rock. I'm on the fence about that. If there's somebody live in the studio, it would sure make sense to play something.
It sure would. It would. Yeah. It's an interesting thought, you know. And he brought it up. I didn't even think of it.
Yeah.
You know, we're losing all these people, and it's just, it's sad. You know, I didn't know she was ill.
Yeah, she dealt with some chronic things for years, you know, the kidney stones, and I think she once said that they took out more kidney stones in her than came out of a mine, as far as that goes. But and she had some autoimmune stuff, digestive things and all that, but she was diagnosed with cancer in the last year, and you know, it was something, like I say, she was performing until that May cancellation, and that kind of told you where things were, because she would never have canceled Las Vegas if she could have done it.
Oh, yeah, it was a Vegas show she was going to do. That was the one in December, right?
No, May. This May.
It was May.
May, yeah.
Wasn't there one in December?
Did she cancel it? I didn't know she canceled that.
I think, yeah.
Ooh.
I'm not sure.
Ooh, well, she might have. You know, that wouldn't... I think she postponed it. And I think that... Oh gosh, that was postponed. In fact, I think that's scheduled for like next month. Well, what happened when they originally announced it? They said, "Yeah, we'll reschedule it for whatever it was, like the fall, somewhere September something of 2026." And then in May 2026, she canceled all the rescheduled dates.
Okay.
So that was, and she had a residency there. And so she had the complete cancellation of the residency. And so, you know, right there, we knew. And all the ticket holders who had tickets, you know, through the year at Caesars immediately, you know, got notifications for refunds. So I think that at that point in time, that was sort of a known thing. But, you know, she certainly had a great life, start to finish.
Yeah.
She lived it well. And, you know, as I say, can't find anybody who ever had a crossword about Dolly. Well, except maybe Porter. But she really showed what a great soul she was with all the things she did for him in light of what he did to her.
Well, I I really liked her. I mean, she was basically, I mean, she came from a poor background.
Dirt poor. Yeah, absolutely. This is a Veerable. This is really, and you know, her father couldn't read a lick. I mean, couldn't read, couldn't write, nothing. And that's what spurred her onto that book project because, you know, she always said, my daddy was very bright, but the fact that he couldn't read or write held him back, no doubt. And so, but yeah, there were a ton of kids and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, this was as poor as poor gets. This is what we'd call hard scrabble.
She was out of Tennessee, right?
Yes, Sevierville. Sevierville is not far from Gatlinburg.
Oh, okay.
So it's East Tennessee, right there in the Blue Ridge.
Blue Ridge Mountain area.
Yep. So right there, you know, spitting distance to Gatlinburg.
Well, she'll be missed, you know, and. You know, that's sad news. And when I heard that, I hear right. You know, it's like one of these things. You kind of hear it. You know, and it's like, did I hear right? I mean,
yeah.
It's like you don't believe it when you first.
Well, you don't want to. That's for sure. You know, and it's time though. And the older we get, the more we hear. And so many people are at that age where, you know, I joke that we're all circling the drain. But the reality is that nobody gets out of here alive.
Ain't it the truth?
So.
Well, next time I call in, I'll do. I told John I was going to do some radio stuff, but okay. I don't know if it'll fit. You know, me talking about, you know, after we talked about Dolly, but next time we'll do some radio stuff.
I'd love that.
All righty.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks.
All right. Yeah, Sevierville is one of the oldest towns in Tennessee. I think it was formed in the 1700s. John Sevier, for those of you who had to take that in history. And, not far, like I say, right spitting distance of Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge. So, okay, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, stories from James on the South Side are next on WGN Radio.
Baby, when I met you, there was peace unknown. I set out to get you with a fine-tooth comb. I was soft inside. There was something going on. You do something to me that I can't explain. Hold me closer and I feel no pain. Every beat of my heart, we got something going on.
James, that's for Elaine, our first-time caller earlier. Kenny Rogers with Dolly Parton is the way the label reads on RCA, 1983, Islands in the Stream. Of course, the Bee Gees wrote it, and one of them produced it. All right, so yeah, any one of them. All right, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, We got a lot going on here, and I want to stop down because James is one of the people who sends me a lot of stories. Gordy does too. Thank you, Gordy. And, of course, Bob, Engineer Bob, so prolific. All appreciated because, as you know, I'm genetically lazy is what it is. That's right. Show prep means I ate before I got on the air. All right, so James on the South Side, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, and thank you for all the many, many, many stories.
Okay, yes, although I'd like to report, gone Miss Dolly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was my mother's favorite artist.
Really? Really? Interesting. All right.
Yeah. And put me in for a song from her vast catalog as well.
Which one?
Put me in for wonderful songs. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Okay, I can just pick it. Okay, well maybe I will do it on God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels, just because that was very early in her career. But you know, what a record to cover! I think every royalty act did it. Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels? So maybe we'll get to that.
Yeah, and I did want to say that first one that you, where she was 13,
yes.
I thought it was Brenda Lee at first.
Well, yeah, she's a child. It would be expected. She sounds 13, yeah. Yes. All right.
Okay, all right. Now let's get to, I guess, the story.
All right, so the first thing is, and when you mentioned that Dolly died, yes, you're one of the people who told me that, and I'm glad, is you also mentioned her pet charity, which are these books, and hopefully everybody who is lamenting of her passing might actually go ahead and donate. I mean, 3 million books so far, and hopefully this will not stop, and you had the link front and center for me on that for the free books program, but anybody can probably find that online fairly easily. If you just write Dolly Parton free books, it's going to come up.
And it's a lot better than having them end up in a landfill.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, for people who actually can write this down or maybe remember it, it's imaginationlibrary.com. That's the URL, imaginationlibrary.com. And it's the U.S. and the U.K. and Canada and Australia and Ireland, so all over the place. And you also could start a program in your town if it's not available where you are. So Birth to Age 5. Pretty much unlimited books there. I think it's a great, great program. All right, so you brought that up, but what else do we have? The forklift. Don't forget about the forklift. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
James sent me a story. In fact, after the news, yes. Are you trying to maybe escape from prison? Yeah, or get out of whatever? Have we got a plan for you coming up on WGN Radio?
Cause when I hear him telling one, it comes as no surprise. He never has a new one, they're the ones he's told before. And I've kinda got a number, and it's just like keeping score. He says, sorry I'm so late, but I ran into an old friend. Well, I know that one well, that's old standard number 10. Score one more for good old standard line number 8. There's no way of keeping score on standard number 4. He tells himself that I don't know what's going on. Then he comes home after midnight when he's got his cheating done, and he whispers that he loves me. Standard line number 1. Thank you.
WGN Radio. So that's Dolly's sister. That's Stella. Stella Parton, 1977 on Elektra. It's my favorite of anything she did. Standard Line, number one. Although her biggest hit was actually a top 10 country record. It was the first thing she charted with. And that was I Want to Hold You in My Dreams Tonight. So, but I thought Standard Line was my favorite, so that's what I played. All right, so 888-876-5593. And we're talking with James on the South Side about creative criminals. Yeah, this story was so wonderful as far as that goes. So, of course, I had to look up Richard Lee McNair. That's the subject of our story that we're going to be discussing. He's still alive, and he's still in prison. Well, after all, he did kill a couple people. And this is one creative guy. The first time he escaped from prison, he was using lip balm to get out of the handcuffs. The second time, I forget what he did the second time, but it was something pretty notable. And then the third time was the escape pod. This is a man who was patient. He had a routine prison job, and he was repairing torn mailbags. And so he built a makeshift escape pod, complete with a small breathing tube, and he hid himself in a pallet of mail bags, which was then shrink-wrapped in part of the normal shipping process. A forklift lifted the pallet and carried it out of the prison entirely, with no one aware that McNair was inside. So the pallet was delivered to a nearby warehouse, and he waited silently until warehouse workers left for their lunch break, cut himself free from the shrink wrap, walked out. Now, the best part, well, that's pretty good. I don't know that you can top it, but is what happened next. We have a police officer nearby who actually stopped and questioned him and let him go. All right, now you figure that that's a guy who would have left law enforcement quickly, but oh no, he was in law enforcement until he retired and then died. And bottom line is, I'm sure he never got over the hassle of that. But anyway, McNair remained free for months and wasn't recaptured until he was found in Canada. So and he's still in prison. So I guess he hasn't figured out a way to do it since.
Maybe they put him with. He couldn't do too much.
Well, they thought that before. So I'm trying to think again, because there were three different. Oh yeah, the other one was he shimmied out of a ventilation duct. That was So the lip balm, the ventilation duct, and then his piece de resistance with shrink wrapped. And so that was the deal. And he actually once had a normal life. He was in the military, and he was a police sergeant at Minot, the Air Force Base in Nodak, and he was an informant for the Minot Police Department. They fired him after they figured he was stealing stuff. And so he was, actually. He attempted a burglary in Minot, and he was surprised by two men, so he did the only thing he thought he could. He killed them. And so it was that, this is, by the way, while he was a sergeant posted at Minot Air Force Base. So that was the, and he's still in prison.
Oh, well,
yeah,
I mentioned that Steve McQueen, yes, I think he was inspired by Steve McQueen's The Great Escape.
Right. Well, there's a guy in Canada, a journalist, who started corresponding with him and later produced a book, The Man Who Mailed Himself Out of Jail. And so why not? Now, there's apparently a documentary series called Prison Breaker, of course, he was on America's Most Wanted 12 times and Unsolved Mysteries, Season 5, Episode 9. So that's that was a pretty good find. I got a kick out of that that story. Now, National Waffle Day, I don't know. August 24th, it was yesterday, we missed it. And once again, this is one of those holidays where you say, who came up with this and why? Well, we know why. It commemorates 1869, when a New Yorker named Cornelius Swartwout patented the first American waffle iron. And over 150 years later, one of the most iconic breakfast foods, so they say. Everything from Belgian brunch specials to roadside empire of Waffle House to the Eggo box and on and on. So, but I don't know who proclaimed this, Waffle Day, but there you have it.
Yeah. There is the story of the Down syndrome father who watched his daughter.
That was a feel good story. Watched her graduate from school. Yes, a very feel good story. And you have the compulsive dancing story, which actually is a real thing, and people were aware of it. And then you you have you know, it's tough when you're trying to get people to enlist in the services and re-up and all that. And so they've come up with incentives. They've always had incentives, but only recently do we have special re-enlistment incentive Grand Theft Auto 6, a four-day pass. Any soldier who signed for re-enlistment between August 1st and November 14th of this year gets a four-day pass specifically designated to coincide with the highly anticipated release of the new video game Grand Theft Auto 6. So it's one incentive, I guess. Now, I don't know if you gave me this story or not. I don't actually know if I've seen it as a story, but I was aware that it's happening. You know, we're very low on air traffic controllers, as we know, and we certainly read about the results almost every day. So now what they're thinking, as far as people who would be perfect for the gig, is compulsive video gamers. And so I don't know how they're recruiting them, but that's what they're going after.
I know. I heard about this story. I didn't get the link to that one though. Now that guy admits that that's an interesting story.
Yes. Now we have more on self-serve that we've talked about a lot. And of course, I think we mentioned this last time, Ohio shoppers are now at a 15 item maximum on the self-serve line. I don't know what to say about this. So now more recalls, of course, salsa, guacamole. Then we have more suspects behaving badly. This was a fine story. Man loses his pants while fleeing. Yes, in a viral video. You betcha it's a viral video now, out of Ohio. And the clip shows a man sprinting away from police when his pants fall down around his legs, slowing him down, I guess, mid-getaway as he scrambles to keep moving. So that is the video clip of the week. Yeah, I would think a belt is in order. So,
I would think so, too, unfortunately. But that's unfortunately people.
Absolutely. So now we have the antique mall in Illinois, and so that's interesting. Giant Illinois antique mall, and so there you have it. And what do we know about that? Anything of interesting?
It's supposed to be. These antiques are supposed to be very, very nice, but I haven't myself gotten down that far.
It's in Sandwich, yes. And the Sandwich Antique Mall, and it's got a 4.5-star rating and 160 reviews. So the first stop passing through the area. So there you have it. And, interestingly, why a sandwich? I'm sure there's a story there.
Oh, yeah, I think there is a story. I forgot what they said about it. There's a particular reason they got that name.
Well, apparently it was a congressman in 1856, Joe Wentworth, and it was originally Newark Station, N-E-W-A-R-K, Newark Station, where the railroad came. And so Congressman Wentworth helped bring the railroad to the area and change the name to honor his roots in New Hampshire. Now, yeah, has nothing to do with New Hampshire, and I guess, but there is a Sandwich, New Hampshire, and they all go back to the English noble title, Earl of Sandwich.
Yeah, who, of course, why we have our particular delicacy now.
Yeah. So there you have that. Always a bunch of stories. Did I miss a favorite here?
No. They're all good ones, I got to admit. We'll leave the 19-year-old who got arrested for another time.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll leave that one for another time.
Always good to talk to you, and thank you for the many, many stories.
Okay, you're welcome. But, you know, I gotta admit, I was actually on the phone with a friend about one about 106 when they told me that they had, they said, oh no, Dolly has died.
Yeah.
It was 6 p.m.
Yeah. Yeah, very sad. Very sad. But, you know, that said, she lived a wonderful life. And, you know, she was diagnosed with cancer a little while ago, and she had chronic kidney problems. And, you know, it wouldn't have been pretty from here out. And no one has ever said, dear Lord, let me linger. So she's in a much better place tonight.
Yes, I agree.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a nice evening.
Yeah, you too. All right, so we will pick it up there. We got a lot of people. Cleveland, Dennis, and we've got Scott in Lebanon and Eduardo in Tampa. And there's room for you, too, on WGN Radio. On Star Day for Dolly Parton, and that was an answer record. And actually, it goes back even further than that. The melody, it was an answer record, by the way, to The Wild Side of Life, which we'll get to. But the melody, the first time probably came out was the Prisoner Song, and this would have been like 1924, and you know, hundreds of people recorded that. But then Wild Side of Life was just, well, before we get there, we have to go to I'm Thinking Tonight of My Blue Eyes. And that's the same melody as well. The Carter family did that in 1929. And, yeah, I could play these, but I won't do that to you. But, yes, I'm Thinking Tonight of My Blue Eyes. Also, The Great Speckled Bird, same melody. That was Roy Acuff, 1937. And then Wild Side of Life, which 1951, probably. And then, of course, the answer record to that is It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels. And there you have it. And everybody on their brother has recorded these songs. So there's a great comedy bit on one of the albums I've got. I'm trying to think who it was who did it now. I think it might have been, if it wasn't Cowboy Copas, somebody else around that time, and did just a terrific rendition. I'm sitting here thinking tonight. Of course, the song starts out as I sit here tonight. So he's sitting here thinking tonight about, I'm going to make up a song. And so he comes up with all these songs. Of course, they're all the same melody. All right, so I'll have to find that, because actually it's a lot of fun. All right, so there you have Early Dolly on Star Day. Not much on Star Day, but that was. So 888-876-5593. Cleveland, Dennis, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh, and uno momento. Alexa, pause. I have to have my Alexa running so I can hear you in the background.
By the way, I'm sure you just did a lot of people some good there on that. But
well, let them have it. I know you have a lot of listeners tonight. It's a great show, Raleigh. It's a great show.
Well, thank you. Wish we didn't have to do it.
I was recently in Sevierville.
You mean Sevierville?
Dolly.
Sevierville?
They pronounced it, when I read the booklet I had, they said it was pronounced Seaverville. Anyhow.
I've never heard that, but
where,
okay.
I guess he was born in that one-room shack and all that. And
right.
I get it because where I grew up on the mean streets of the near west side of Cleveland, we didn't even have central heating. There's just one heater in the middle of the house. But anyhow, I was in Gatlinburg in mid-July as a Johnny Cash reference with my oldest daughter, her two daughters, my granddaughters, and four of the great-grandkids.
Wow.
It's just amazing to me how Gatlinburg was. And then we ended up in Pigeon Forge,
uh-huh.
a great Mexican restaurant there. Got to see all of Dolly World or whatever it is. I didn't participate. I'd rather stay in the car and relax. But they took the kids out there, and they just had a ball. But I'm enjoying, you know, your show and all the attributes and dedications people have been having throughout the day. And when you get to it, maybe you played Dumb Blonde at some point.
I did. I did that last week, actually.
Oh, really?
Because
well,
Dawn and Beloit wanted to hear it. That's the first thing she charted with. But that's why tonight I opened with, you know, the first thing she recorded and then some other early stuff like the Ray Stevens song.
Yeah, I went back a pivotal year for me was 1968 when I graduated from high school.
Yeah.
And I just kind of looked at 67, 68, and he was hitting, you know, the all the pop, I guess, tune dexes. But I know out of Akron, WAKR had plenty of her stuff going because I used to listen to them. I would pick them up out of Cleveland. But I just wanted to call in and, you know, mention what I just mentioned and compliment you and your listeners for all that's going on tonight on your show.
Well, great. Good to hear from you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very kindly.
All right.
I know.
So, yeah, it was on that parody I'm thinking of, and it'll drive me crazy, too. It was on an album that had Cowboy Copas, but it had others as well, and it was a wonderful parody on, you know, Great Speckled Bird and all the others. All right, so I'll think of it. Yeah, or not. We'll see. But in the meantime, let us check out Scott in Lebanon, Missouri. So, Scott, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Raleigh.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
I enjoy your show, and I just had called in. I wasn't calling in anything relative to Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Except my wife and I, we did watch Steel Magnolia.
Uh-huh.
We enjoyed that one this afternoon, just in her honor.
Yeah.
But I when I talked to your who's the guy that answers your phone? Is he an engineer or something?
No, I'm married to him. That's John.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah.
I was telling him that I had built a regenerative receiver radio to listen to you in Chicago when I was living in West Chicago.
Yeah.
And it had the fidelity better than any Supernatrodyne I've ever listened to.
Nice.
And so I was out in the backyard. I decided to turn it on, and I could get you in loud and clear from 400 miles away.
All right. I like it. Excellent.
So, yeah, we had once traded stories about our shenanigans that we did back in our younger days.
Yeah.
Little FM transmitters.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I hope the statute of limitations is out.
Yeah.
But
as long as nobody died in the process, you're safe.
Yeah, riding up and down the streets of Park Ridge with my bicycle, tuning into TV stations and scrambling people's TV sets.
Always good.
And then waiting till they get up to touch the dial and then shut it off.
Yeah, exactly, of course.
So.
Yes.
All right, well, that's all I had called about, and I want to tell you, you got a great show, and I'm a full-time listener.
Well, thank you for checking in, and do it again soon.
Okay,
thanks. Appreciate it. All right, after the news, we got another hour to talk about whatever is on your mind, Eduardo, in Tampa, and plenty of lines available for you on WGN Radio.
Listen.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yep, early Dolly Parton. That was on Star Day. And, of course, It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels was just an absolute country classic, though not an original. Kitty Wells had the big hit. And it was an answer song to Hank Thompson's The Wild Side of Life, of course. But as I was saying earlier, it didn't start with that as far as lyrics go. I think the earliest one might have been Thrills That I Can't Forget. And that was 1925. And then about a year later, the Carter family did the same exact melody as Thinking Tonight of My Blue Eyes. And then Reverend Guy Smith went back to the gospel theme, called it Great Speckled Bird, and that was Roy Acuff. And absolutely the same song as Wild Side of Life and One Guy Who Made Honky Tonk Angels. And the connection is noted in that David Allen Coe song. If that ain't country, and in fact, the last lyric is, I'm thinking tonight of my blue eyes concerning a great speckled bird. I didn't know God made honky-tonk angels and went back to the wild side of life. And he left out a few, but that's the deal, number one. But yes, Dolly did a cover of that, and isn't usually on the list of covers as far as that goes. Lynn Anderson had a top 20 hit with that. Skeeter Davis recorded it in 73. Marianne Faithfull, believe it or not, God knows what possessed her, did it in 1976. Jesse Coulter did it, on and on it goes. And there was also, I think, Dolly Parton, Loretta Lynn, and Tammy Wynette, who did a trio cover version of that, Honky Tonk Angels. But the first one was Dolly on Star Day there, as far as those covers go. And so that was 63 on Star Day. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Eduardo in Tampa. What's up tonight, Eduardo?
Yeah, good evening, Raleigh. Well, I think this story I'm going to talk about is kind of good timing with what happened with Dolly Parton. This was on CBS Sunday Morning. Milan Casa Verdi, it's a retirement home for professional musicians, and they can pay whatever they want to. And they have classes to young people, too. This Verdi person lost his wife and children. He was around 120 years ago, but he was an opera great. Giuseppe Verdi.
Yeah, right. If I said that right. Right. He's famous, actually. And
okay.
He established this, has spent his life fortune on it, as famous for it. And it's mostly, like you say, retired opera singers, but professional musicians as far as that goes. And so, okay. Yeah, it's still there. And Giuseppe Verdi and his second wife, an opera singer, Giuseppe Zina Strapponi, are entombed there.
Okay.
Right in the courtyard.
Yeah, I think they said it was in the courtyard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it, a mosaic crypt.
Okay.
And so that's the deal. It also houses young musicians from local conservatories and things like that, students who get, you know, mentorships and stuff like that. And so there's kind of a shared artistic cross-generations type community. So, I guess they were running out of things to talk about on the morning news.
Yeah, they find some interesting stories here, but I thought that was a pretty interesting story. I never heard of it.
Well, they've had over 1,500 residents, but they've had a long time to do it.
Yeah.
So, that's the deal. And so I think it's a great idea. And we have...
we're going to have one over here.
Well,
we're going to have the Raleigh...
That we wouldn't
radio,
have.
For radio talk show hosts.
There is a retirement home for actors and performers in north of Los Angeles in the San Fernando Valley. I'm trying to think of what the name of it is.
Oh, okay.
And that's been there for years. I don't know why it's not coming to me, but it will. And that's actually a pretty nice place You got to go to the quote-unquote the home. This is the home to go, but it's not easy to get in. But I'm trying to think. It wasn't a DGA project, but it was something. And that's what it is. So I'll try to find it.
That's... Yeah, definitely a place to visit if you're in the L.A. area.
Yeah. Motion Picture and Television Fund, Wasserman Campus on Mulholland. That is it. And if you've got criteria regarding how many years in the motion picture and television industry you've been, and they've got independent living and assisted living and memory care and a hospital wing and all that, and it's very active. It has its own internal resident-run TV station, Channel 22, and as far as that goes, it's well-known. And yeah,
okay.
But like I say, I think it's pretty hard to get in because they just don't have much availability. At least that was always the case in the past. So MPTF, Motion Picture Television Fund, MPTF.com is the website, and you can check it out. And they've got services for people under 65 or over 65. If you need help, they've got phone numbers. So yeah.
Okay.
And so yeah, absolutely. They don't have anything for, as far as I know, anywhere for retired musicians. Although this is a good idea, or retired radio personalities.
Yeah. I thought that'd be an interesting story. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I worked with a guy who was saying he wanted a retirement home. He said, we'll need secretaries who will send us fan mail with our names appropriately misspelled. And yeah, that's about mm-hmm. it. So yes, it is there.
Yeah. Oh, well, the job's going well, Raleigh. I am glad because I passed the 3 months and, so.
Good.
Yeah, and it's good. People are easy to get along with, and you're always learning something new about when you're taking that patient up and all that. Good conversation with even the patients, not just the coworkers. So, yeah.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. I'm glad I got the experience to do that finally, because I've been talking about it, so.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It took long enough, and I still don't understand that. You should have been employed a long time ago. Okay, I found another home while we're at it here in the United States, the Actors Fund Home, and apparently that is in Englewood, New Jersey. But the interesting thing is if you're a member of SAG and AFTRA with 20 years of work within the industry and annual earnings of at least $2,000 for 10 out of the 20 years, you qualify. And that would be, radio, TV actors, news writers, reporters, recording artists. So there is one, actually, along with their spouses and all of that. And so it's considered one of the best nursing homes in America.
Oh, since I have you in the air right now, there was another one, too, they mentioned Sunday. I think it's in New Jersey. It's called the Luna Park PRC.
Okay.
And the guy built this home over there, and he gives public tours.
Okay. The Eclectic...
Collection of items. I don't know if you...
The Eclectic Kansas. Yes, it's a semi-private museum in Sandyston mm-hmm. Township, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and apparently yes, this was CBS Sunday Morning. Obviously, you were paying rapt attention. They had mm-hmm. had a feature on it, and it's Luna Park, LUNAPARC.com. And so it was Ricky Boscarino's project. All right, Ricky, why not? And so why not? I mean, if Watts can have the Watts Towers, why not Luna Park?
Yeah. It's like Jeffrey Bear's, Jeffrey Bear would almost, these kind of things would almost come on Jeffrey Bear too, given these, or what was that one? Oh, Wild Chicago. Yeah, that was the other one too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, very good.
I'm glad that these things are out there, because if you ever visit these towns, I go, I'm going to visit this place. I'm going to put it on my list.
That's great. Absolutely great.
Yeah.
Why not? Yes.
Things you never knew existed, yeah.
Right, right. And for the most part, don't care, but occasionally they're interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Raleigh, you're right. In the final hour. I'll call back again tomorrow, Thursday.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for calling. I appreciate
it. Thank you very much. Yeah,
so,
have a good evening.
888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH on WGN Radio.
would come running into our bedroom almost every night. Her soft little face would be wet from her tears, and her little heart pounding with fright. She'd hold out her arms, then she'd climb in beside us. In a small voice, we'd hear her remark, "Mommy and Daddy, can I sleep here with you? 'Cause Jeannie's afraid of the dark." One day in the summer, we took some flowers to place on some old family graves. Jeannie said, "Mommy, ain't it dark in the ground? Oh, Daddy, I'd be so afraid." Then she looked up at her daddy and me and said something that broke both our hearts. She said, "When I die, please don't bury me, 'cause Jeannie's afraid of the dark."
Jeannie was always afraid of the dark, and we never could understand why. 'Cause we looked after Jeannie with the very best of care, because Jeannie was our only child. Perhaps it was death that she was so afraid of, 'cause it took her one dark, stormy night. I think we always knew that we'd never see Jeannie grown, 'cause it seemed that she was destined to die. But on Jeannie's grave, we placed an eternal flame that glows and never loses its spark.
Yes, they lit the coffin. The WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. I've never been able to listen to that with a straight face. They did it on the show, Dolly and Porter. Dolly wrote it. Yeah, shame on her. Yeah, and it was really, it actually charted. It got to about number 51, and it was recorded, I think, May of 68. What surprised me is there's like a dozen covers of it. Who in their right mind would want to cover that? But nonetheless, that's Dolly's early writing talent there. Jeannie's Afraid of the Dark. That's right. So, all right, 888, couldn't resist it. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And, you know, we haven't done it in a while. Actually, I do it on the stream every night, but haven't taken a gander at what's up with 2020 news. Real stories, just not written in the way that you'd hear on the regular news.
Holy Matrimony Plus, Parking Rock, and Ring-a-Ding Sting. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Matrimonial money machine. New York's got a marriage fraud matrimonial money machine. Feds busted 11 people accused of arranging hundreds of sham weddings for green cards, complete with costumes, cameras, and couples allegedly paying up to 100 grand each. Some prenups even promised the newlyweds would live separate lives. Something borrowed, something blue, and something very indictable, too. Worn on the bayou, he raved paradise. Shot up a parking lot, so say the heat. Some off-his-rocker Texas Danger got into a rat-a-tat spat over a parking spot at Walmart in Jennings, Louisiana. The old guy got all fired up, shooting his mouth off, then his gun into the air, the popo purport. Quick Draw Peashaw's Pulp Friction got him a free ride with the fuzz where they parked his caboose in the calaboose, parks and escalation. Known Temple Pirate, holy wow. Some ding-dong in India's been nabbed in an alleged bum-dog civilian snare for swiping 3 yellow metal bells from a local temple. Clinker bells also facing the music for making off with copper wire from a nearby power plant, worth a whopping $8, cops claim. Once upon a crime in Bollywood could soon lead to Indian Jones and his temple of Zoom Boom spending time in the holy jail. No crime chime too small for 2020 news. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.
All right, so there you have it. Now, probably you've heard those stories, but not written quite that way. That's Kevin and Steve and their finest. All right, so we have, let me preface this by saying that forever we've wondered exactly how the pyramids got there. Who built the pyramids? You know, were they moving it one block at a time? You know, whatever. Well, maybe we're closer to thinking that that could be happening, because right now Japan has enlisted 1,800 people to drag a castle. Yes, a 360-ton castle. And apparently they want to move the structure, I don't know, you know, maybe 6 feet or something. And it has to do with stability and earthquakes, I guess, and those kind of things. But you normally think of renovations and restorations of being things that are done with equipment. In this case, this fortified tower within a castle moved to repair a wall that was damaged in the earthquake. What they've done is they have rotating teams of 80 people heaving on 30-meter ropes. Yeah, that's right. I kid you not. They're pulling the castle 6 feet, and that's the deal. Now, apparently, the building has been somehow set on rails. Well, that's good to know, and they've shifted it a little bit at a time. But they have 8,000 applications for the 1,800 slots over the last couple of days, four times oversubscribed. Not everybody can participate. I don't know why anybody wants to participate, but nonetheless, people from the city across Japan and overseas, even some applying from America, and they've got They've actually got video of these people pulling the castle. In order to preserve the structure, they put the building on rollers and move it rather than dismantle it. And apparently, they've been thinking about this since 2015 when they put out a call for people to come and participate. And that's the first time they did that, moving anything in more than a century. And I guess now is the way to go. What, are they out of their minds? And you look at this and say to yourself, there's got to be some equipment that could do this. Well, apparently the castle has now been moved and everybody's thrilled with the results. All right, so 888-876-5593. Oh, plenty of things to talk about, as you can tell. Yeah, we're talking about moving castles with people power. It's come to that. We'll get to Stephanie and Madison and Johnny and Austin, oh, thank God, after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Well, a good ways down the railroad track, there was this little old rundown shack, and in it lived a man I'd never seen. Folks said he was a mean and a vicious man, and you better not set foot on his land, but I didn't think nobody could be that mean. So I took me out walking down the railroad track. I was gonna go down to that little old shack and just find out if all them things I'd heard was true. There was a big black dog laying out in the yard, and it growled at me and I swallowed hard, and I heard somebody say, well, who are you? Oh, and there he stood in the door of that shack, and his beard and his hair was long and black, and he was the biggest man I'd ever seen. When he spoke, his voice was low and deep. He just didn't frighten me, 'cause somehow I just knew he wasn't mean. He said, what you doing snooping around my place? And I saw a smile come across his face, so I smiled back and I told him who I was. He said, come on in and pull you up a chair, you might as well since you're already here. And he said, you can call me Joshua. Joshua, Joshua, what you doing living here all alone? Joshua, Joshua, ain't you got nobody to call your own? No, 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 no. We talked till the sun was clean out of sight. We still talking when it come daylight. There was just so much we had to say. Life in an orphan's home, and just like him, I was all alone. So I said, yeah, when he asked if I'd stay.
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. Well, that was Dolly Parton's first number one hit. Yeah, Joshua, nice Christmas present, 1970. I'm sure it frosted Porter's butt, because they had a number of duets that made the top 10, but around that time, but not number one. However, Joshua did, and the rest was history. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Stephanie in Madison. What's going on, Stephanie? Thanks for calling WGN.
Hey there. Thank you. Well, I want to leave room for Johnny A. Just thinking about Dolly Parton and what an incredible person she really was. You know, so gifted, talented, everything. But a couple things. Talk about a nice person. Years ago, right after Carrie Underwood won American Idol and, you know, started having country hits like right away. It was Jesus Take the Wheel. And she won an award at the Country Music Awards show. And Faith Hill had a really nasty look on her face. And, you know, the country jocks made a big deal out of it. But Dolly Parton spoke out and, you know, said, hey, she just smoothed it out and, you know, said, hey, you know, it's all, you know, Faith feels really bad about it. Nothing here. Let's move on, you know, which is really nice. And she, 1968, one of the first songs I heard of her, from her, just, my mistakes are no worse than yours just because I'm a woman.
Right.
That song, you know. Oh, I love that song. If you could play it, I would love it, love it, love it. And so, yeah. And I can hang up and listen so you can get Johnny on too, okay?
All right.
Yeah. Good to talk to you, Raleigh.
Likewise. Glad you called.
All right. Me too.
All right. Talk to you soon. Okay, bye. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And yes, Johnny in Austin, what's happening tonight? Johnny.
Well, it's nice to talk to you. I didn't expect to be calling in. I got some thoughts on Dolly Parton. Before I do, because I don't want to forget it, where do these 2020 news excerpts come from? Are they available to people?
Yeah, you can have
people
them.
Like me?
Absolutely. They're absolutely free. And it's a takeoff on the old CKLW news. So I will send you an email with contact information, and they will send them to you every day.
So they're daily?
Yes.
And they're free? And
yeah,
what are they?
Absolutely free.
What you do,
it's a labor of love. Kevin and Steve loved the old CKLW news. And in fact, The Voice, you know, what they did was they fed it all the CKLW news guys. It's AI. But the writing is Kevin and Steve.
Well, so this is daily?
Yeah.
And so if I wanted to put that on my morning show on Houston Radio Platinum.
I think they would love it.
And so what do they send it to your Dropbox or something like that? Just automatic?
Well, you know, with me, because in order for me to do something, life has to be pretty simple because I don't have the time. I think they normally expect you to get it. But in my case, they email it to my inbox every damn day because it's the only way I can do it. But I don't know if they'll do that for you, but it's fairly easy to get if you want to get it.
Well, I'll talk to my streaming guy and see. He knows about all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's easy, so.
I think it's a great feature. How is each one about a minute long?
90 seconds.
That's excellent. They really sound good.
Oh, now, the writing is great, and they're all true.
I haven't listened.
They're all true stories.
In depth to them. I'm talking over you. I apologize.
That's all right. Go right ahead. They're all true stories.
Are they all current stories?
Yes.
Or just
yes. Well, within
really?
Within the last month or so, whatever. Yeah.
Oh wow! Well, please do send me that link. I'd like to investigate that.
Okay.
Dolly Parton. When I got into country music radio, which was in '67, she was. I don't have my country book here. If I do, well, I can't find it. But anyway, but when I went to KIKK radio in 1967, she was coming on, and I think, I mean, you know more about her beginnings than I do, and I missed part of your show tonight, but she was on Monument with Something Fishy and Dumb Blonde.
Right, and that, my favorite on Monument was that I played it to Busy Signal, the thing that Ray Stevens wrote and produced.
I don't know it.
Yeah, well, I played it.
Well, so anyway.
I'm listening. Where'd you go? Johnny? Johnny?
Huh? Wait, I'm here.
You dropped off completely.
I had nothing to do with it.
I'm sure you don't, but it's sort of been like that for me tonight. I've seen computer screens disappear, but you absolutely disappeared there for a minute, but you're back, so good.
Oh, good. Well, I What was my train of thought? Oh, the stuff that she did for Starday, was that way long before all this other stuff that she did?
Well, it's before it. You know, how way before it? Just like the first thing was on Gold Band. That was when she was 13. Her uncle.
Oh, my goodness.
Her uncle wrote it, and it's pretty awful. Puppy Love. I played it. I don't know when she recorded that Starday thing, actually. But it came out after she had hits. So it's something they had in the can. So not sure when she actually recorded it.
Am I still coming through?
Okay. Yes, absolutely. So okay. I know Starday released it in 1970. And she already, you know, it was actually right around the time that Joshua came out.
What year was that?
1970.
Okay, so I was playing her stuff. Well, I remember when I was a kick in 67, wasn't she already doing duos with Porter Wagoner?
Well, 68.
The last thing on my mind was the first song I remember.
Yeah, 68 was when it started with Porter. You had mentioned like Dumblon and Something Fishy. That's 66 and 67. That's Monument stuff. And
yep.
why, you know, all that. But she started on that show when Norma Jean retired. And so that.
Oh, Norma Jean.
Yes. Remember Norma
What
Jean?
Was that? Let's Go All the Way. That was great.
Yeah. There you have it. So she retired and then Dolly got the job. So that would have been 68.
I only met Dolly Parton once, and it was briefly, very briefly. And I was at the CMA Awards in Nashville in 1966 when I worked for Kick Radio, and they had all the morning shows from all over the country in the museum, the Grand Ole Opry Museum. So she was doing the same thing, but she was at another location. And I don't know where that location was, but she was doing the same kind of thing, going around talking to all the radio people.
Well,
and
yeah,
I think she might have been doing it in the afternoon, actually.
That was usually DJ week, and in fact Fanfare was an outgrowth of that because so many fans got onto the fact that DJ week happened, and that was a CMA thing, and that was usually in October, and all the acts would be there, and they'd be available for interviews, to record, so people could, you know, come. Yeah, they have a little country station in Calgary. You know, I'm from CFAC, and to do a 10-minute interview with
them. I visited that station, by the way.
Oh, somebody had to. I still have T-shirts. The bottom line is that's what they'd all do, and whether they were big or they were small, it didn't matter. It was Bobby Bear, or, you know, what was there? I'm trying to think of one of the ex that was there, Barbara Fairchild, you know, so was everybody.
Oh, yeah, the teddy bear song.
Yeah, that later, yes, absolutely. That was the big thing, DJ week, and especially going around and getting those interviews.
Well, the thing that I think caused people to care so much about Dolly Parton is she didn't get political that I know of.
No, she made it a point not to get political. Absolutely made it a point.
Which was great. I wish there was more like that, but there'll only be one Dolly Parton. But you know, I mean, she was such a gracious person that took. She just had a vibe of love and good, and she didn't care what color you were or what anything. I mean, she loved humanity, and it came right through. She was a gentle, real lady.
Yeah, she was
a good person. And that's probably because she came up a simple little girl, and she never lost that little girl within herself. And I think that's just beautiful. I really do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's, as I was saying.
I had heard or maybe read a few things that she might have been in poor health, but I don't think they made a big deal out of it.
Well,
did you know she was sick? I didn't.
Yeah, I knew she was sick. I didn't know early on about the cancer diagnosis, and it happened, pretty much right after her husband Carl died last fall. And then she delayed her because she was residency at Caesar's Palace, and so the December gigs were starting, and she delayed them, and they did a reschedule for September, and but you know, I knew in May when she canceled that and no further performances that we were seeing the end. You know, but as I said,
did you ever meet her?
Well, as I said, I used to wave at her. The offices I rented in Nashville, I rented from her, and her uncle, Bill Owens, who wrote the first little song she recorded, he was the one who had the office downstairs for me, and I had the office upstairs. So occasionally she'd come in, and usually I was too busy or she was too busy, and we just kind of smile and wave, and that's about it. I regret that I didn't, like, go down there and talk, but you know how that is. And, yeah, the guy in the office, the little house next to me, was Pete Drake, the steel guitarist. And I wish I had spent more time talking to Pete Drake.
The guy who did Forever.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. The talking guitar. You betcha. And same thing. You know, you just don't think about it. You always think you're going to have time. And, of course, you don't. So I knew her by virtue of she was my landlord, but I didn't know her. Other than to smile and wave, I never said a word to her.
Well, as I said.
We're just losing you again. Wonder why. Oh, okay. You're back.
Yeah, it was just a quick hello, hi, nice to meet you.
Yeah, no. But
man, I mean, she was loved by billions.
Well, for all the right reasons.
Really.
Like I said, I never heard anyone. And in Nashville, as you probably know, Nashville's as snarky as it gets. And you talk about...
No, I did not.
It's Sodom and Gomorrah in more ways than one. And, you know, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes gossip, and a lot of it's true. But I've never heard anybody say an unkind word about Dolly Parton. Never.
I had no idea she did so many good things.
People
that she did.
Yeah.
I had no clue.
Well, and what she did for Porter. I mean, that's a strength of characters that I never would have done that.
You got to tell me what she did.
Okay, here's the deal. Firstly, she wanted, by about 1972, she was, you know, getting her wings and wanting to leave the show, kind of. And, of course, Porter didn't want her to leave the show. And in 1970, he had signed another deal with her that was pretty bad. But anyhow, she finally got out of that show and all that. So he was bad-mouthing her to hell and back. When I say nobody ever did, well, he did, but that's neither here nor there. And so anyway, in 1979, he sued her. He sued her for $3 million and 50% of all her royalties forever.
Oh, my God.
I know. And so bottom line is, after a while, she settled with him. She gave him $1 million. And she did, at that time, this was 1979, she had not yet hit that real mark. Because even though she'd made hits on RCA and all that, you know, your royalties aren't really coming in that much, because you have to pay for all the records that didn't hit first. You know the way those contracts work. So the bottom line is, she was not a wealthy woman, but she gave him $1 million, go away, and he did. And anyway, in many years later, might have been the mid to latter 80s, he was really down on his luck, and rightfully so.
Oh, my God.
I mean, so she bought his publishing. She bought all the rights to everything he had ever done, and paid full market value, and that way he paid off all his debts. And as soon as he paid off all his debts, she went and gave him everything back and didn't charge him a dime.
That just... It blows my mind.
She returned, and didn't ask for it. And I mean, considering what he had put her through, that's it's more strength of character than I would have had. But she did, and she made no deal of it whatsoever. So that was Dolly Parton.
My gosh, what a story that was.
Yeah. Yeah, and I
knew there was some friction and stuff back there, but I didn't know what you told.
Oh, there was absolute hatred. Because, you know, Porter had been big earlier, but when you look at his top 10 records, they were all from basically 69 on, all, you know, Porter Wagoner, Dolly Parton, Porter Wagoner. So, you know, here his cash cow is leaving. Oh, well, we can't have that. And
So he was angry that she... left
that
was
she
that
yeah that she wanted to leave, and he had her sign a contract in 1970 before she hit that was pretty egregious, pretty limiting, but he later tore up that contract. Well, anyway, then he tried to stick it to her, saying no, this contract's still valid and all that stuff, and finally she wrote I Will Always Love You for him, and she went into him.
And
she sang it and said, you know, this is goodbye, but I will always love you. And he let her go, but he didn't. You know, the avarice in his heart was just there. And then in 79, he pulled that $3 million lawsuit with 50% of all of her royalties and all that crap, and you know, it was just horrible. And but you know, she paid him off and rose above it, and obviously did him a turn that he had no right to ever get, actually. So, like I say, she had more strength of characters than I would. I would have said, yeah, too bad, Porter, see ya. You
know? Yeah, she had a heart of gold, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, and she always took good of all of her family members. And they weren't, you know, they weren't people who were sycophants who lived off her or anything. All of them who worked for her did good work and all that. But she went out of her way to make sure that every one of them had whatever opportunity they wanted.
What an incredible human being.
Yeah. Yeah, all the way around, yeah. And like I was saying,
I'm kind of stunned just hearing this story, to be honest with you. Yeah. I'm just kind of sitting here
in
the days.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was mentioning earlier, I used to see her sister, one of her younger sisters, Stella, often, because the little acts I was promoting would be on the same bill with her. And she was lovely, too, you know, and she had absolutely nothing to say about Dolly except wonderful things.
Oh, boy. Oh, I mean, who gave her her big break? Do you know?
Well, you know, I mean, her uncle, remember the guy I was renting the space from, basically, Bill Owens, he was kind of a fixture in Nashville, a writer, not of any big note, but a well-known person. And so when she was 13, he got her on the Grand Ole Opry with him. And it was Johnny Cash who introduced her, and she had had a crush on him. So anyway, she did that Opry thing, and you know, that went, you know, basically nowhere, but it introduced her, and then she got on Little Labels and then on Monument. You know, so it was, you know, and I mean, Fred Foster signed her to Monument when she was nothing. So I give him a lot of credit for that, too. And
well, I hope she left her impression on a good number of people that will take that unconditional love or whatever you want to call it and pass it on, because there's not a lot of people like that.
No, there really aren't. And, you know, and her relationship with Carl was just wonderful. And, you know, sadly, he passed last year. So they're together again.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And do send me that 2020 news.
I will absolutely do that.
Will I be able to contact these guys and get some information?
Yeah, Kevin will write you back. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much. Okay. I really appreciate the story.
Absolutely. Glad you called. Thank you.
You have a good night, you and your listeners. Thank you, Raleigh.
So,
bye.
888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and I think we have bills to pay, and then maybe we'll find one more Dolly Parton, which I promised I would play just because I'm a woman, and that will be next on WGN Radio. For Stephanie and Madison, WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and 21 hours from now, we will reconvene. Until then, that's a wrap. So I thank you for listening. I thank John for screening your calls. I thank Adam for keeping us on the air, and I'm hoping to hear from you tomorrow. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.